Welcome and thank you for listening to A Time of Hope, which has highlights from last Sunday's worship service at the California United Church of Christ. We also want to welcome you to join us in person this morning. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30. Our church service starts at 10:30. Our church meets at 101 North Oak. It's the church with the clock in the steeple, and you'd certainly be welcome to join us. Now, listen to A Time of Hope.
Please pray with me this morning. Praise be to you, O Lord God Almighty. We rejoice that you call us together and unite us through the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we live for the praise of your glory now and forever. Amen.
Our special music was a group of 10 church members who got together to sing the patriotic hymn, America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesties, above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee.
Chambers read our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, greatest of all time, Jesus is the greatest counselor.
Would you please join me in a prayer for illumination? Come near us, Holy Spirit, that we may experience your guidance and strength in our lives. Stir us by your living breath. Warm our hearts with your holy fire. Give us courage to be gracious and loving disciples of Jesus Christ in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first lesson today comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The second lesson today comes from Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Here ends today's lessons.
I think a couple of the reasons that people watch our online services so they don't miss children's time, because you never know what's going to happen during children's time. I think Collie J is taking on her grandpa by making sure she greets everybody for everything, and she's doing a great job of that. And then you just never know, and then the double quartet, whatever you want to call it, the dextet, you want to put a D in there for that, whatever you want to do it. Man, what a great job. Thank you guys for that this morning. We've had great special music. We'll be in a chapter 4 of Hebrews, the last three verses, if you want to turn there this morning. I'm going to talk more about the verses that Alan just read later at the end of the sermon, so we'll be back at those in a few moments. But as we look at counseling and we look at some of the counselors from the history, you look at greatest counselors, of course you'd think Sigmund Freud. That's one that we've always heard about. You know a few things about him, called the father of psychology. You have some ones that are modern day. I don't know if I'd call them counselors or psychologists, but a lot of people would write Dear Abby to get helpful advice, and so they'd get their letters printed. That was one that would probably be fairly famous. Today, we have maybe Dr. Phil, that has people that like to go out in front of millions of people and tell their whole story, but Dr. Phil works with them in front of all of those. But then we have some from our TV past. We have some that are a lot of shows that dealt with counseling. One that was a good show, but now the star has kind of been dismissed because of some of his behavior. Bill Cosby, I think what was his Cliff Huxtable? I think he was a counselor on that one. Back in my day, the Bob Newhart show, not the second one where he was the innkeeper in New Hampshire with Larry, Darryl, and Daryl, but actually when he was married to Suzanne Plachette and I think had his office in Chicago. Frasier Crane, that came out of Cheers and had his own show. I thought one of the really best written, funny shows, witty shows on TV at one time, but Frasier Crane, Kelsey Grammer. And then I liked watching MASH back in the day, and they'd have a guy on there called Sidney Freeman that would be on the different episodes and try to help them through different situations. And then maybe a little bit closer to now, if you ever watched the show Monk, he dealt a lot with his counselor, Dr. Kroger, and then later on another counselor that he had there. But we see the importance of counseling. We see the importance of finding someone that identifies with us, that can understand what we're going through and give us a little assistance. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had one of my very best friends contact me out of the blue. His parents lived just down around Russellville, and they were driving through the area and said, he called me up and said, man, it's been a long time. Could we just get together and have dinner? His wife was with him, and so we went out to the Mexican place. I think Peggy was there. Peggy Levy was there that night when we went through the Mexican place, and we just spent hours talking because it had been a long time, but we could go right back to where we were because we'd been in college together, roommates, best men in each other's weddings. We'd gone through a lot of similar circumstances, married quite a while with grandkids and kids, and we could identify. And it's good when you can sit down with someone that you can understand you and you understand them and you can be honest and transparent with. You know, yesterday we had our annual Cobb reunion just down around Forsyth, Missouri, and we went down there Friday night and spent the afternoon with my Aunt Betty, Aunt Rita, and Uncle Frank visiting with them. And then we got to the place where we have the reunion. Our group continues to get smaller. We lost a lot of family members this past year, but it was probably one of the more quality reunions because we got to visit with different ones one-on-one and really hear some more of their stories. And I remember sitting with our oldest relative there now at the reunion. He'll be 89 this year. His name's John Crouch, and Dad was sitting there and some other people. And we started the reunion about 16 years ago. And before we started that, you know, my dad said that, he said, I knew we were kind of related, but I didn't know how we were related. And now after all these years, we can share all these stories. And they tell us stories about great-grandparents and my grandparents. And you feel this connection. And there's really a community that when you find someone that identifies with you and that can listen to you and assist you in areas that you struggle with. And when we look at these three verses this morning, verses 14, 15, and 16, we're going to see that Jesus is our greatest counselor. We're going to look at some different qualities that he has. We're going to look at his counseling method and how it applies to each one with us this morning. So if you'll join me, chapter 4 of Hebrews, verses 14, 15, and 16. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And remember, he's talking to Jewish Christians so they would understand the idea of a high priest. A man that walked into God's presence once a year to pay for the sins or provide the sacrifice once a year so man and God could have peace for that year. And he says, you know, you guys talk about your high priest. We have a great high priest. Jesus is his name. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Man, right now you can't hardly find a counselor or make an appointment because they're so busy, especially with the years of COVID and all the isolations people have struggled. And people come to me at different times needing guidance more than I'm qualified to give. And we'll kind of work with some of the issues and then we'll find a counselor for them to go to. But what about in those situations when we need those ones in the middle of the night that we can't reach or that we can't reach out to? Jesus tells us that he is always available. As we looked in chapter 2, we see that Jesus was fully human, that he was someone that could identify with us through the different things that we struggle with day to day. We talked a little bit about the frustration that he went through with life, the things that he would have experienced that many of us in this room have experienced and will experience. We talked about that. It was interesting that there's no recollections, there's no writing down of the loss of Joseph in Jesus' life. Nowhere does it say, did Joseph die suddenly? Was it a shock? Was it something the family was shocked and saddened by? And they had to deal with that grief immediately. Was it a slow, painful death? That Jesus was there and part of the family for whatever reason chose not to heal his father, but was there to comfort and be with him. Jesus knows what it's like to lose a parent. We know when we read through the scripture, we see Jesus was disappointed at several times. We see at times he was rejected by his own family. And sometimes they thought he was crazy and they wanted to dismiss him and take him away and hide him from the public. One of the passages in John chapter 6, that would have been probably the highlight of his ministry. When thousands of people were following him because of the miracles of feeding the 5,000, they were coming to get another meal
to be impressed. Again, Jesus gave that saying that chased most of them away, and I wish when we have Scripture that we could see the expression on Jesus' face, that we could hear the tone of His voice, that when He looked at the crowd and He looked at them leaving and wandering away, this great experience now that was turning into a negative, and He turns to His disciples and He says, "Do you want to leave too?" Was it a challenge? Was it a tinge of sadness? Was it a tinge of disappointment? We see that when Jesus is fully human, that He can empathize with us. He can understand whatever situation you're going through, rejection, disappointment, loss, chaos in your life. He understands all of those situations. So we understand that when we come to Him, it's nothing new that He has not seen before, and that He can give us guidance and that He can give us help. But then also we see in Scripture what the writer's trying to convince his readers of is that, yes, you've had great high priests, but ours is more than just human. He is also divine. He's human so we can approach Him, but He's divine so we can get assistance and help and strength from Him. We see that divinity in many different places. We see Him heal by just touching people. We see Him healing from afar, people He didn't even see. Just don't go back and your daughter has been made well. We see Him at the transfiguration, all of His glory come out for His closest disciples to see. We see Him walk on the water. We see Him calm the storm. We see Him cleanse the lepers and feed the hungry. We know then that He can answer any need that we might have, physical or even spiritual. But what kind of counseling process, what kind of counseling method does Jesus use? Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us right there that His counseling method comes through with grace and mercy. And because of His divinity, that He can come along beside us and assist us when we're hurting the most. I remember the 92 Barcelona Olympics. I don't even know where we're at in the Olympics right now. I don't know if it's the winter one coming up or the summer one coming up. It's every 2 years. I don't even know where it's at anymore. But I love the Olympics. I love getting into things that I don't even care. I don't even know what the names of the sport. That thing that they push that scone down and they're brushing it, trying to get it into a circle. Man, if the U.S. is involved, I'm all in. If they're going for the gold medal, I'm there for them. You know, if it's target shooting or those guys that do that long distance skiing and then they shoot a target, if it's the U.S., I'm all in for it. But really the Summer Olympics is kind of what I look forward to, especially the track and field and the basketball. And I remember in the 92 Olympics, there was a guy running the 400 meters. His name was Derek Redmond. He had trained his whole life to run the 400 meters. He was running in a qualifying heat so he could get to the final eight. 400 meters is one lap around the track, and he's making his turn at the 200 meters when he tears a hamstring. He falls down on the track, writhing in pain. 4 years of hard work have gone. His shot to be in the finals has gone by, dismissed. The people around, they're finishing the race. He gets himself up and he starts to hop. He hops 100 yards. He has 100 yards left, and he's straining to complete because he doesn't want to be one that doesn't finish. But then out of the crowd comes his father. He sees his son struggling. He sees trying to do it on. He doesn't think he's going to be able to finish it on his own. So his father goes out there, puts his arm around his neck. He puts his arm around his neck, and he helps him complete that final 100 yards. I kind of liken that to our battle in our life, man. We hop along, we crawl along, we scrape along, and the father all the time is in there in the crowd, ready for them to come down and assist us and help us and carry us across the finish line. But how does God... how does Jesus counsel us? How does He assist us? Number one, He does it with mercy. Number two, He does it with grace. Mercy is that pardon of all of our sins, not getting what we deserve. You know, I like watching those crime shows on the whatever channel it is, the Dateline's Unforgettable and the Dateline Forgettable, whatever they are. You see all the different shows that Paul is on, the 48 hours. I watched one this morning. They'll have DNA evidence, they'll have video evidence, they'll have all this different evidence, and finally, when they get down to it, they know for sure that it's this person. Well, when we stand in front of the judge, the eternal judge, He has the video evidence, He has the DNA evidence, He has our own confession, our own words to convict us, but instead of receiving the punishment that we deserve, He gives us mercy. That's the first counseling method that he gives, that when we approach him with confidence, when we approach him in faith, he gives us mercy to wipe away whatever hurt, whatever bitterness, whatever thing that we're carrying in our past that dogs us, that ties to us like an anchor to weigh us down. He says that price has been paid. That's mercy. Not getting what you deserve. The high priest would go in once a year and put that sacrifice out there on the Ark of the Covenant. He would spread that blood that an animal had died to pay for the sins of the people or to roll them back. The writer of Hebrews said our high priest took his own blood to pay the price. So the first method he uses is the method of mercy, and that we're able to approach his throne of grace now with a sincere heart and confidence to receive that. But then the second thing he gives us, he not only wipes away our sin, but we find grace there. A restitution, a renewal, a purifying of our souls, a receiving of what we don't deserve, undeserved acceptance and a love received from God himself. Salvation provided for us sinners by God himself through the sacrifice of his Son. We don't deserve it. There's nothing, as we read it, there's nothing that we did, that Alan read, there's nothing that we can do to receive it. But when we come to him in confidence, humility, and obedience, he gives us mercy and he gives us grace. And in our darkest hours, along with those, we find that he prays for us. Romans chapter 8, that when we don't know what to pray, when we're overwhelmed with sadness, when we're overwhelmed with, you know, the chaos of our life, we don't know where to turn. It says the Holy speaks for us when we groan. How does Jesus counsel us with grace and mercy? Well, he prays for us in our darkest hours of need. But then he also speaks to us. I've heard his voice. You might say, well, preacher, you really do need a vacation. You do need to get out there and kind of take a break. But I've heard his voice whisper in my ear as I've read his scripture, as I've had my quiet time, about who I need to call, about who I need to write to, about who I need to go visit, or a heaviness on my heart, someone that I need to pray for. He speaks to us in our quiet times, but he also speaks to us through his word. When we read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's speaking to us. He's counseling us. Psalm 121, where's my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Psalm 46, he is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. He speaks to us when we read his word. That's how he counsels us. He prays for us. He speaks to us. And then he cleanses us. Alan read it just a few moments ago in Titus chapter 3 there. He says, you've done nothing to deserve what you're being given because of his mercy. God has saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. Jesus identified with humans when he was baptized. You know, he came to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, you need to be baptizing me. I don't need to be baptizing you. But Jesus said, no. We're going to do this to fulfill all righteousness. I'm going to show you that this is how we connect with one another. This is how we identify with God. This is how we identify with Christ. And it says when he came up out of the water, that God said, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. And he says the same thing to us when we make that decision of faith. But he washes us, cleanses us, that forgiveness of sin, echoing the words of Peter on the day of Pentecost, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and what? The gift of the Holy Spirit, the renewal by the Holy Spirit. He cleanses us and restores us. And then finally, he gives us the promise that he is always with us. What was his last words to his disciples when he left this world? And lo, I am with you, what? Always. No matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what struggles you have heavy on your heart, the things that wake you up in the middle of the night, the things that weigh you down, he is always with us. That's why he is the greatest counselor. He is the first one that we turn to. So his words can speak to us, so his voice can speak to us, so he can cleanse us, and so that he can walk with us through those very dark shadows, the valley of the shadow of death. And since he was human, we can draw near to him. And since he was divine, we can worship him. Hebrews tells us to draw near to him with confidence, a sincere heart, and a full assurance of faith, a genuine heart. There's not enough good things that you can do in this life to receive God's mercy and grace. The requirements are this. humility, obedience, and humbleness in His eyesight. That's what we bring to Him. And when we do that, He gives us His mercy and gives us His grace. Those two passages that Alan read, Ephesians chapter 2 and Titus chapter 3, they're in your bulletins there. I'd like for you to print those out, put them on your refrigerator at home. It may mean you have to move a grandkid's picture. It may mean you have to move a kid's picture or a drawing. Put them on the side, all right? Put them on, give them airtime, but put those scripture verses right where you can see them every day. That is by grace you've been saved, not by anything that you've done. Just coming to God with faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, to receive His renewal, His washing, and the power to live the life that God wants us to live. If there's something heavy on your heart this morning, you need somebody to pray with you. I'll be down here for just a little bit before I go back. If there's something you want to leave on a card, or if you need to make a decision, you've never identified with Christ the way Christ did. He chose to be baptized and said, I'm doing it to set the example, to show, as well as to start my ministry, and to show how we identify with God through faith. This morning, the song that I picked, you can't do a sermon on grace or mercy without singing the greatest song ever, Amazing Grace, about grace, written by John Newton, a slave ship captain that realized the life that he was living was heading him into an eternity separated from God, and he recognized the greatness of God's grace. I pray that you do that this morning as well. So let's sing Amazing Grace. Father, it's been good to be in your house today. I pray, Father, that you just help us to continue to look at your word and receive that counseling method, grace and mercy, Father, that cleanses us, that prays for us, that looks after us, that's always with us. And I pray, Father, that we are always aware of that. Help us to encourage and lift up one another and give us safety today as we go out into your world, Father, to share that gospel with others. We ask this all in your name. Amen.